it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Dan. In terms of, the pass rush yesterday, what did you see that you thought led to not as much success as you've seen from that unit?
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I thought, when are we going to take our shots, when to go? I thought early on, I thought they did a nice job of, getting rid of the ball quickly, to get, intermediate throws to go. But the ones that are down the field, Howard, those are the ones that we've got to capitalize on. I thought we could have stunted more to try to, put the offensive line in some disadvantages to go. When you have good balance like they had yesterday, you're not teeing off to go. But I do feel like, we've got to get them off the spot. We had a number of chances, and we didn't nail those yesterday like we had the week before. That would be my main take. And then, honestly, like I said, at the end of the game, not being able to close Howard on the third downs, I thought that was, the biggest factor here. We had some chances here to get him in some third downs that you can get off the field. And when we didn't, and Joe tried, three different ones, a zone, a man pressure. And so we got to be able to nail those when those come up. That's for sure.
Dan Quinn on Monday, after he had watched the tape of the loss Sunday in Atlanta, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. One solution, your number one solution, if you're forced to give one to fix the defense, is what? Let me just once again reiterate, because this is important from my standpoint. I'm much more into solutions than I am going back and playing the blame game, even though we do it a lot. I think it's hard to come up with a solution when you're not exactly sure what the problem is. I think the problem is multi defensively. What's also ironic about this whole conversation is we couldn't have had this conversation after the Giant game or even the Raider game for that matter. I mean, the pressure they got on Geno Smith and the disruption up front against the Raiders was left nobody thinking that there were any issues defensively. This is the up and down roller coaster nature of this league. But I think what we've seen now against the two better and more capable offensive teams in this league, and they've got several of them coming up, over the next several weeks, I think that, there's an issue here. Once again, this looks like the problem. Taking a macro view of this team offensively, look, without Jaden and without Terry, they put up 27 points. Without, by the way, getting super short fields, except in the Sanristil situation, and the kickoff situation. That was a big kickoff return by Luke McCaffrey. It does appear, we might have a different opinion this coming week if they shut down Justin Herbert, if they do to the Chargers what the Giants did to the Chargers. But I think there's a problem. I think we would all admit it. Identifying what the problem is or what the problems are is harder. Again, my information is nobody believes it's just one thing. Nobody believes it's just scheme and play calling. Nobody believes it's just Marshawn Lattimore. Nobody believes it's the safeties exclusively. Keim wrote a good story, and I actually just read it for the first time because somebody just sent it to me during the break yesterday on the defense, and there's some good quotes in here. Dorrance Armstrong, we've got to figure out what we're doing wrong and get it right ASAP. There's definitely a belief out there that there's something going on, and it's an issue. And again, it's not just one thing. John had some really interesting data and information in his story. In each of the next 6 weeks, Washington's opposing quarterback ranks in the top 15 total QBR. Four of those in the next 6 weeks are top nine in total QBR. And five of them rank in the top 12 for pass plays that gain 15 yards or more. Washington currently ranks last in the league in the number of such plays allowed. Pass plays that go for 15 yards or more. There's a lot of discussion from guys like Jeremy Reeves and Will Harris, you know, reiterating some of what Joe Witt talked about last week, which is eye discipline, you know, eye control, communication on the back end. Washington's allowed 20 pass plays of 15 yards or longer, and they allowed 8 on Sunday against Atlanta. This is an issue for sure. The other piece of information, very interesting from John in this story. No team has allowed more pass plays of 15 yards or more while facing motion than Washington with 11, and 6 of those occurred Sunday. Atlanta gained 328 yards Sunday while using motion. That tactic also hurt them in Week 2 versus Green Bay, which gained 187 yards when using motion versus Washington, 126 through the air. So in their two losses, they've given up 839 yards total, but 515 yards of that 839 in the two losses to Green Bay and Atlanta were versus motion. And remember, that's not just passing yards. That's passing and rushing yards. They got something going on back there. One solution, one idea. I think it's really hard to come up with this, and I think I'm asking a question that it's going to be very hard for you guys to answer because we don't have all of the information here. But if you forced me to make one decision, just because I do think he's struggling, whether it's all about him or just partially about him. Of the corners, and Sanra still hasn't been great, although I thought he played better on Sunday. I thought he was actually good in the run game when there were a lot of missed tackles. But my one solution, gun to head, forced to make one, I'm going to sit Lattimore for a while, and I'm going to move Sanra still outside and Noah I back inside. What's your one solution? It could be extreme. Like, we're moving on from Joe Witt Jr. They're not going to do that. Or the lesser of the extreme answers, Dan Quinn takes over play calling. Or it could be personnel related. Or it could just be coach him up better. I will say one thing before I ask Max for his answer, and then we get to the phone lines. I talked about this yesterday because Quinn talked about, you know, the pass rush could have been better on Sunday, and that's true. But I don't think you can, even though the pass rush has been improved, run stopping's been improved, and the pass rush until Sunday had been fairly effective. Again, you have to say, caveat, two opponents were really not good on those days or set up to be good on those days offensively because they were really hurting along the offensive line. And in the Raiders' case, they weren't very good along the offensive line to begin with. And Washington dominated the line of scrimmage against the Giants and against the Raiders. But I think the one problem with saying, well, if we can just be consistent as a pass rush team, that will elevate the back end. That is true, but it's hard to be consistent pass rush-wise when you don't have a special pass rusher. And they don't. The Giants have three of them. They've got four of them, you could say. They've got Carter, they've got Burns, they've got Thibodeau, and they've got Dexter Lawrence. They have four A-level defensive players when it comes to disrupting an offense. Washington really doesn't have one. They've got a couple of good ones. I think Armstrong's playing at a high level this year. I think, you know, Kinlaw's playing at a high level. But they don't have the guy that scares the crap out of the opposing offensive coordinator. They don't have the guy that elevates everything around them. There's so much attention on this player that everybody else gets to eat. And I think if you're relying on the pass rush to mask the back end issues week in and week out, there are going to be some games where they get lit up against good teams, good quarterbacks, because they don't have a guy week in and week out that can demand that that team game plan around that player. Max, you have to come up with one idea to fix the defense. What is it?
There's been a lot said these past couple weeks since the start of the season about Marshawn Lattimore. It has not been great, especially in press man and like you said, against motion. One way that I think that we could kind of remove him from running with a guy would be not putting him on the bench, but putting him up top at safety. That's usually the dead man walking for.
You went Lattimore making a D'Angelo Hall late season career move to safety.
I'm throwing out ideas here. Things are not working.
You didn't trade three picks for Lattimore to be a safety.
It's true you didn't, but man, you got to make do with what you got at this point because it has not looked good.
Okay.
At any point.
By the way, that is one that I bet a lot of people out there listening haven't thought of. We move Lattimore to safety, and we move Sandristil outside with Amos and Noah I inside when we're nickel, right?
Yeah, and then if we need a more physical presence, we bring Jeremy Reeves down and put him in the box and have Marshawn Lattimore sit over top.
I think Quan Martin's a better box player.
Yeah.
I think he's more suited to be a closer to the line of scrimmage player. He just doesn't. I like Quan Martin. He doesn't have the range to play free safety. I don't think Reeves does either.
Yeah.
Safety is an issue with the loss of Will Harris.
Big time. He was a big a sticking point, especially through the first couple games that he was playing. He looked pretty good. Like he had some busts against Green Bay, but I mean, God knows the entire secondary did. So losing him is a big blow, and I don't know if you're going to get the same out of Darnell Savage. So Marshawn Lattimore, get back there, man. We'll put you 12 yards off the ball. Hope you don't get beat deep downfield.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. You got to come up with one solution to fix the defense. Kurt in District Heights, what's that one solution?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
I'm well, Kurt.
I think you hit on all the points, really. There's really nothing to add, but the one thing you did mention is the one thing that I have to say. I think, you know, Mikey needs to go to outside, you know, because Mikey on the inside, I think long-term he's better on the inside, but there's a learning curve for him at the pro level on the inside. He went through that learning curve last year on the outside, so right now he's better on the outside. And put Noah Iron on the, you know, inside and sit Lattimore. But I just wanted to add, I think the coaching staff, they had some fool's gold there last year because their run defense was so bad. It made their pass defense look good in terms of the numbers. So I think that they went all in to fix the run, assuming that their pass defense was better than what it was. And I think that had a lot to do with what's going on now. You know, those points you made were great. And I think that's the move right there. But they also need to sit Lattimore and tell Lattimore to just play. If he gets beat by a step, don't hold. Don't be all in nobody's face, woofing and barking. Just play. If you get beat by a step, turn and look for the ball and play. I think that's what Lattimore needs to do. And he needs to sit out on the bench and think about that.
Yeah, keep in mind, and you make a great point, you know, the pass defense numbers, if you're just a box score reader or a stat line reader, you're like, wow, Washington had a pretty highly ranked pass defense. Well, that was because it was so easy to run against them, and they got run on much of the year, and they were nickel too much, and they got run on. But they knew there was an issue because they drafted Trey Amos. They traded for Marshawn Lattimore, you know, at the trade deadline. So they did recognize there's an issue. They liked Will Harris more than they liked Jeremy Chinn. They wanted an upgrade there. So it's just that they've lost Will Harris. And let's face it, if you look at this defense, there are a few players that we expected, you know, this year would take a big step forward from a really solid season last year. Sandristil is one. Luvu is another. And I think a lot of people were expecting Quan Martin, with the way the season ended for him, to take that next step forward. And they haven't gotten, you know, excellent performances from any of those. There's not been an indication that they've taken that next step. I was a big fan of Luvu last year. I think Luvu last year was debatably the second best player on the team. And, you know, if we're going to debate, you know, the where players rank, you have to start at number two because Jaden was clear, in a way, the best player on the team last year. I thought you could make the case for Luvu, and I was really excited to see what Luvu was going to develop into. It's only four games. It's only four games, but he hasn't been what he was last year. You got one fix, one go-to fix you've got to come up with for the defense. What is it? Mike in Silver Spring, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think Lattimore is past his prime. He's always a step or two behind. I don't really think he can cover anymore. So I'm in favor of Benstream. I wasn't in favor of the trade in the first place. But I think something else that could help that is if Dan Quinn starts calling the defense. He's been a defensive guy pretty much his whole life. And I think he knows what he wants and what he needs. And I don't think it would take away from the defensive coordinator's position if Quinn took on that
responsibility. Oh, it would. That would be dead man walking in terms of Joe Witt Jr. as a defensive coordinator. Don't you think?
You really think so?
Yeah, I do. Well, I think if Quinn took back play calling from him, we'd have a new defensive coordinator next year.
Well, you know, maybe that's not such a bad thing, but I think Quinn would bring a lot to the defense, but Lattimore has got to go sit down.
Again, I appreciate the call. I don't feel strongly about any ideas that I have because, again, I don't know that we really understand what the issues are. Yes, the numbers when teams motion against them are not good. They're terrible. You know, for whatever reason, Quinn and, you know, over the years has an issue with Shanahan-style offenses. And they've been very bad against the two they have faced. Green Bay with Matt LaFleur and Zach Robinson, the OC in Atlanta. Although, actually, what Atlanta does is similar in many ways, but out of different formations. They're in the pistol a lot more than Jordan Love is. But yeah, I think it's hard, but for me it's like I can tell that Marshawn Lattimore, no matter what situation he's been in, even if it's an advantageous situation, he has not played well. So that, you know, I could point to that. I could point to Bobby Wagner in coverage. You know, I could point to the tackling clearly, you know, in the last game. Is that a coaching issue? Not necessarily. That can be an execution issue because I'll tell you what, I think run defense, after going back and watching it, I think they were in good position to be even better results-wise against the run. It was their worst run defensive performance of the season, but it wasn't as bad as I think it felt when we were watching it. Like, I'll be the first to admit, when I saw Bijan Robinson's final numbers, 17 carries, 75 yards, I know he had the 69-yard swing pass, I thought he was at a $125 minimum. I thought he was at 5-6 yards a carry. He was at 4.5 yards per carry. Not good enough defensively, but it was better than what I thought statistically. And then when I watched it on the All-22, it was much better than I thought. There were a couple of players that I thought, you know, I didn't really identify any defensive players that played well. Deron Payne, one of my favorite players when he's on, too many missed tackles. Too many missed tackles for a lot of guys. And by the way, Bijan's going to make you miss a lot. Let's go to Montel in Frederick. You can make one defensive change to kind of create a better defense. What's that one change you'd make?
Hey, Kevin, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Montel.
I have a few things, but I'm going to give you the one. But I just wanted to go real quick because last year we had a conversation, and I conversated this one with you and Craig Hoffman, that Quan Martin is not the answer. He was one of the guys that I said that should go with St. Juice, but we got rid of half the problem. I just don't think Quan Martin is very good because of the angles that he takes on his playmaking. It's just totally off. But if you want to get down to what we need to change, I don't think we need to change anything personnel-wise. I just think we need to gel. It's a young group. We keep changing personnel. Chemistry is what these guys that I believe are missing. And the coaching staff really has to step it up for me because I think they're missing a lot of things. And Dan Quinn should take the play calling. But the reason why I say they're missing a lot of things is over on the offensive side of the ball. Kroski Merritt, he's your next Devon Achane, man. You got to let him play ball.
Look, that's an offensive thing, and I'm with you. I think you gotta figure out and coach him up on this pass pro because, you know, at 6 yards per carry, I want that guy out there. And by the way, I'm fine with Rodriguez getting a lot more carries as well. Look, on Quan Martin, and I've already said this, I actually think he is an effective in the box safety when he plays in the box. What's very obvious is he's not good as a free safety. And I don't have, you know, the breakdown of free safety to box, you know, alignments in terms of the percentage of snap counts that he's out there. But I'm going to guess that he's been out there a lot more at free than he's been in the box. Will Harris was more in the box, and I think Reeves is more in the box. I think Quan Martin actually has good instincts in the box. I don't like him as a free safety. I totally agree with you on that. Max, see if you can get... I am curious. See if True Media or any of those places have numbers on Quan Martin lining up at free versus strong safety. I think I've seen him play a lot more as a free safety than a strong in the box safety. Thanks for the call, Montel. Everybody stay on hold. We'll get to more of your calls next. You have to come up with one fix defensively. What is it?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.